The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. issuesetc.org or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.
They're saying you are not recognizing a reality. You are assigning a social construct to that child when you say, hey, it's a boy.
That's what people think is happening with the manger. They think we can use a manger for a crib. Isn't that cute? No, it's not cute. That's part of his suffering.
When death comes to us, when suffering, when doubts, when torments come to us, we look to Jesus, who is faithful and trustworthy.
Missouri dairy farmers love Issues Etc.
Well, it's hard for anyone to deny that it's coming up. We're talking about less than 2 weeks, the Christmas holiday, whether you're celebrating it the world's way or the church's way. It's coming. Even churches that have worked very hard to erase every vestige of any kind of churchly tradition still find themselves facing the Christmas holiday. It's one that if they don't want to, they have to celebrate. The social pressure is simply too great. And even if they want to, do they have the wherewithal, seeker-driven churches, any longer to actually celebrate Christmas or just offer kind of a Christianized version of what the world is offering? It's This Week in Pop American Christianity here in the second hour of Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, December the 12th. Chris Roseborough will join us a little bit later. We're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got 4 soundbites to play for you. We'll play them. You give us a call and you vote, and your vote will decide which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. And the best voter will get the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues T-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. Or call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, Chris Roseborough. We're going to be talking about Christmas in American evangelicalism, or a seeker-driven Christmas. Chris is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Last week we were talking about this, dipped our toe into the story. We heard Perry Noble call Christmas the Super Bowl. You take advantage of this big Sunday. Now, if someone, the unchurched, walks into one of these seeker-driven churches, what are they going to hear there?
Well, I'm glad you ask. I mean, let's kind of go with the football metaphor for a minute. I mean, we heard Perry Noble last week, talk up the game, if you would. Christmas is the Super Bowl, he said. Well, if Christmas is the Super Bowl, then the seeker-driven guys at this point, their preaching ability, it makes it so that the team that they field on, for the Christmas season at church is about as effective as the New York Jets right now. And, it's really that bad. I mean, if you're going to spend all this money making sure that you let people know how much Jesus loves them because you've spent top dollar, on your snow machine, so for your church's performance of Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, and then when the pastor opens up his mouth and what he preaches is just abysmal. It doesn't actually proclaim Christ in his saving office and him crucified for our sins. If you can't connect the dots between the manger and the cross, and instead you read yourself into the Christmas narratives and twist the message, you haven't actually helped your unsaved neighbors. If anything, the pastor at that point has fumbled the ball and actually given up ground, turf, to the devil, and made it even more difficult for your unsaved neighbors to actually hear the truth and to be brought to penitent faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins.
The first example we're going to hear is from Vince Antonucci. Who is he, and what should we be listening for?
Yeah, well, Vince Antonucci is a very popular and kind of rising star in evangelicalism and the seeker-driven movement, and he's most notable for the fact that he has found a way to effectively, as they say, combine stand-up comedy and preaching. And right now, what we're going to listen to is a snippet from this past Sunday's sermon. For the weeks leading up to Christmas, Vince Antonucci has been doing a sermon series called Retro Arcade, and he is going to literally be explaining to us the spiritual insights that we can glean from the video game Pac-Man.
We are working under the assumption that there's something that we can learn from Pac-Man, the life lessons that we can get from Pac-Man. And I think what we learned from Pac-Man is to eat incessantly, to be paranoid of ghosts coming up behind you, and when things get rough, take a pill. That's it. I kid. But I really do think there are things that we can learn from Pac-Man, because I think the game of Pac-Man is actually a whole lot like life. You and I, we go through life and we're kind of taking it all in, and we've got our maze of activities that we go through every day, and everything is good. But then we get confronted. Sometimes we get confronted with a temptation. And if we give in to this temptation, it's going to bring our life down. It's going to hurt our relationships, maybe even hurt other people. Or sometimes as we run through the maze of our life, we're confronted with an opportunity. And if we can just seize this opportunity, it could raise us up to a better life, to the life that we want to live, right? And so we go through life, and we're going through this normal maze when we're confronted with temptations or opportunities. And it's the same for Pac-Man. He would be running through the maze, and suddenly he'd be confronted with ghosts. And the ghosts would attack, and they would try to eat up Pac-Man, unless Pac-Man could eat a pill. And if he ate one of those pills, he would start glowing, and he would have a power that he didn't have a moment ago. And so instead of the ghost attacking and eating him up, he would attack and eat up the ghosts. And I think really that's what we need, isn't it? What we need is a pill. What we need is something that will give us a strength that we don't have. So when we're confronted with temptations, we've got the strength to overcome them instead of getting eaten up by them. And when we're confronted with opportunities, instead of, not grabbing it because of fear, because we're just used to the life, no, we seize them and we escalate our lives to something greater.
Chris, we have been having these conversations in one form or another for the better part of 10, 15 years now. And I think 10 years ago, if you would have played that for me, I would have said, Chris, it's a parody. It's satire. But it isn't anymore, is it?
No, that was not parody. That was not satire. That was literally the opening couple of minutes to this past Sunday sermon at Vince Antonucci's church in Las Vegas. And it's if it wasn't so sad, it might be funny. But the reality of the situation is that, pastors are given a job, and the job is to preach the word. And Titus makes it clear, Paul makes it clear in Titus, that pastors are only to teach what's in accord with sound doctrine. And so what has happened in the seeker-driven movement, in this never-ending quest for relevance, is that they're always trying to somehow make God's word relevant by bringing in pop culture, because they don't believe that God's word naked by itself, just preached, and proclaiming Christ through it, is going to be a draw for for unbelievers. So, what they have to do is they have to dress their messages up with these pop culture stuff, and they're getting to the point where they're just stretching the bonds of credulity. No joke. He went on from there to basically say, well, the solution that we need is we need to have just like Pac-Man would glow when he would eat a pill. We need to look at how Moses glowed when he spent time face to face with God, and somehow that becomes the power for us to overcome temptations. And that was kind of the stretch that he was using. But again, it's just patently absurd. He wasn't proclaiming, law and gospel, sin, grace, repentance, and the forgiveness of sins. He was basically using life tips and then, embellishing God's word, if you can even say embellishing it, with the main point really being, the launching point from the Pac-Man video game. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So again, I'll kind of ask the question, what's the point in spending all of this money and working people up and getting them to get people to come to church if when they arrive, this is what they're going to hear?
Does it highlight something about in the endless quest to be relevant, to stay current? Ironically, he has to go to retro video games in order to stay current. Does it highlight something about kind of the nature of this barrel of ideas? The barrel does have a bottom, and it sounds like Antonucci's getting close to scraping it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting down to the dregs here. I mean, I don't know anybody right now, who's saying, "Oh man, I got to play me some Pac-Man." This might have been really relevant, in the 80s. But I mean, who's playing Pac-Man right now? I mean, yeah, maybe it's a pop culture reference that we all kind of understand, but it's not like Pac-Man's going viral on Twitter right now, and the hashtag Pac-Man is somehow climbing the charts. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so pop culture is not an endless well of ideas. There's a limit to what you can do, and pretty much after you've gone through all the pop culture things, you're running out of ideas, and you become less relevant when you try to be relevant. And the reality is that the eternal gospel is relevant and applies to every single human being. We're all born dead in trespasses and sins, and every one of us is in need of what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. That never goes out of style. That's timeless. And, they've exchanged the timeless message of what Christ has done for us for this nonsense in order to grow a church and get it big, all in the name of evangelism. But it's not evangelism if you're not preaching Jesus.
The next example comes from Tim Castagna of South Bay Church in San Jose, California. What are we going to hear here?
Yeah, now this is an example of totally missing the point. This would be an example of narcissism or narcissistic eisegesis. And this is from his sermon entitled Fear Not. And this sermon series, no joke, they're going to be going through the Christmas story, and every time an angel appears and says, "Fear not," they're going to use that as kind of like the launching off point about how we shouldn't fear particular things in our life. We'll let Tim explain.
So today we're kicking off this brand new series called Fear Not. And in this series, we're going to be talking about different moments in the Christmas story where different characters were approached by angels who had come to them, and that all one thing in common is said, "Do not be afraid," or "Fear not," depending on the translation that you read. And so in each of these stories, we're going to be uncovering what it means for us to overcome that fear. And so this week, we're talking specifically about the fear of what God wants to do through you. Now, not all of us here are here, come to church regularly. Some of you, or maybe you're exploring what it means to follow God. You're trying to figure this out. Maybe it's Thanksgiving weekend, so you got dragged over here by one of your family members. But I think all of us, at some level or another, wrestle with fear in some aspect of our lives, right? Maybe it's fear of the purpose for our lives. Maybe it's the fear of not knowing which way we should go with our careers or whatever it might be. We all wrestle with this. And so today, we're going to be talking practically, what does it look like for us to, one, overcome this fear of what God wants to do through us, but really identify the direction and the steps that he's asking us to take in obedience with what he wants us to do. And so today we're going to be uncovering the story of Mary in Luke chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn in there. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And we're going to read the story of Mary and how an angel appeared to her in that moment. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Now, if you're taking notes today, the first point I want to make for you is this, that what we call interruptions, God calls invitations.
Okay, what's going on there?
Talk about adventures and missing the point. Okay, literally, he thinks that the reason why God the Holy Spirit had Matthew pen these words, you know, regarding the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary that, you know, she was going to give birth to the Messiah, and even though she was a virgin, is because that instance in her life reveals a pattern that we can look to in our own lives, and we just need to apply that pattern and be obedient to the dream or vision that God wants us to fulfill in our lives, and we use this story then as inspiration for, because we're just like the Virgin Mary. God's going to send, you know, a messenger or talk to our hearts or whatever and give us a super special purpose and assignment that we need to fulfill. And so we look to Mary as inspiration to see how that's done.
This is, you said narcissism with about 30 seconds, a great example of that. Why so?
Well, narcissism is narcissistic eisegesis. An eisegesis means to read something into the text. The reality is you and I are not in this text, and this text was not written so that we can somehow see a pattern that we can follow in our lives and in achieving our purpose. This narcissism makes every text about you. The reality is this text is about Jesus and the good news that the Savior of the world was coming into the world to save us from our sins. That's kind of the other part of that narrative, but that doesn't fit the template that they think is relevant to draw unbelievers to church. So they have to make it about you or about me, and to make it about you or me is to miss the Savior altogether and miss the point of all of Scripture.
We're talking about the seeker-driven Christmas on This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Rosebro. He's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. More with him on the other side of the break. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com.
If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight.
With a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying...
Tired of the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry and ecclesiastical supervisors doing nothing about it? Register today at acelc.net for our next conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Don't just rant about it. Find out what you can do at acelc.net.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky, Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
These guys really think that the message is conveyed in their trickery or their theatrics rather than in the actual message that Christ bled and died for them.
It's really people who think of themselves as conservative Christians who feel the need to explain the miracles of the Old Testament by some mechanism that satisfies human reason.
We don't want this willy-nilly kind of, yeah, Joe, get up and preach this week. Wow, you've got a real gift. Great, got a gift. Let's make sure that he's qualified to use it well.
The trellis of Trinitarian worship has fallen into disrepair, and now you have a generation that when you treat the doctrine of the Trinity in 2 weeks of catechism class, their eyes glaze over.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, just the taste of the four soundbites we have ready to play for you in their entirety. And then you give us a call, send us an email, or go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote. And you get to pick Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, Chris Roseborough is with us. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the seeker-driven version of Christmas. Chris, here's another example. This one comes from Troy Grambling. He's a lead pastor at Potential Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
But one of these, the thing that these movies all have in common is they all begin with a nightmare. And maybe some of us can identify. I think it's why they're so popular. Sometimes those movies begin with the nightmare of loss, a lost family member. This is the first Christmas that you're having to spend with the absence of somebody you really care about, or maybe it's a lost job. Sometimes the nightmare is illness. Sometimes the nightmare is unmet expectations. You know what we call it, don't you? We call it midlife crisis. It's when where you thought you would be at this age is not where you are. And all of a sudden, the money you thought you'd have, or the business you thought you would have started, or the marriage you thought you would have, or at least, you know, the relationship you thought you would have had by now, you don't have. And in these movies, and in our lives sometimes, that's what becomes a nightmare. Sometimes it's being overwhelmed. A lot of times these movies start with single parents, and they got school, and they got the kids, and then now they got to decorate the tree, and they got to go shopping. Sometimes the nightmare is being ignored or forgotten, overlooked. And not only are you not the first one, the Bible actually speaks to it, which is good news because the Bible has a whole lot of answers. And it can actually give us some insight into how do you deal with the nightmare before Christmas. The nightmare of all the loss and the illness and the unmet expectations and the failure. And I want us to talk about somebody actually in the Christmas story.
So while the rest of the church is doing Advent, I take it Troy Grambling is doing the nightmare before Christmas.
That's correct. And I think that's an aptly named sermon series because each and every one of his sermons has truly been a nightmare to listen to. But notice what he's doing here, you know, that, you know, in the days leading up to Christmas, he's trying to basically appeal to people who've experienced, well, those upset things that happen in life, you know, unmet expectations. Maybe you were hoping that by the time you were in your midlife that you would be the CEO of a corporation or a business owner, or that your relationships would be happy and your children would be well behaved, and so Christmas is coming around and now it's a time when you're reflecting on your life and just feeling that it's not what you had expected. And so this is kind of how he set this up, and this is how he's equating this with the nightmare before Christmas. Well, then, notice what he said at the tail end of that soundbite, and we'll get to how he tries to prove this, is that the Bible apparently can help us because the Bible gives us answers to how we can overcome these feelings that we have of unmet expectations because there was somebody in the Bible who also experienced a nightmare before Christmas. And who would you think that would be, Todd? I mean, just thinking through, who would be the guy who experienced a nightmare before Christmas?
Well, I would think
it would be Joseph, but let's listen and see.
I want us to look at who often gets overlooked. I want us to look at who was Jesus' earthly father. I want us to look at the life of Joseph, because I think it gives us some insight into how you and I can actually deal with the nightmares we face before Christmas. Let's look in Matthew chapter 1. Look at what it says. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been," what's this word? Yeah, betrothed to who? Joseph. It says, before they came together, so that gives us in, you know, where they are in the time frame. She was found to be with what? That's a nightmare. Okay? Mary went away to see her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. And when she gets back, she's showing. And Joseph sees that she's showing. That is a nightmare. Joseph's got this like incredible time in his life. He's found his bride. He has committed to her. She has committed to him. They are getting close to the time to where they will come together and consummate with sexual intimacy, that commitment to one another. She goes away to see her cousin who gave birth to John the Baptist. And when she gets back, it's like, this is a nightmare. This is embarrassing for you. It's embarrassing for me. It's embarrassing for our families. I think Joseph can relate to your nightmare. Now, yours might be different. Yours might be loss. Yours might be illness. Yours might be failure. Yours might be discouragement. But Joseph knows what it's like to find yourself one day. You just kind of wake up and all of a sudden you're in this nightmare. All of a sudden you're sitting at the Charlie Brown table eating Spam.
Okay, Chris, it strikes me that he could tell exactly the same story of any guy who finds out that his fiancée's pregnant. Doesn't have to be pregnant with the Messiah. Jesus really isn't necessary for this particular application, is he?
No, he's not. And the sad part is that literally the tens of thousands of people who are listening to this. So this guy's got a multi-site church. He broadcasts his sermons on television. And, I mean, I don't understand why this guy is as popular as he is. But the reality is that he's not preaching Christ and him coming to earth and Mary carrying the Messiah. She kind of, you know, basically he engages in psychoanalysis. This is what we call psycho-Jesus. This is a psychological analysis of Joseph. And basically, the good news is that there's somebody in the Bible who can relate to how frustrated and disappointed you are in your life. And isn't that great that we can all just commiserate together? I mean, how is this good news? I mean, he's describing the effects of sin without getting to the root of the problem and how Jesus actually addresses that root of the problem where nobody in human history could possibly do it. And you know, and so now the whole message of Christmas is lost, and a real opportunity to evangelize those who are, you know, who are pagans, who are unchurched, as they call them in seeker-driven parlance, has been lost because the people who don't know what Christianity is about, who showed up to church to hear about this, who've heard this. They don't know. They're not any closer to actually understanding the saving message of the cross than before they came to church.
Is it, you know, we often talk about the seeker-driven pastors and their congregations dedicated to relating to their audiences. That's what seeker-driven really, really means, relating to the seeker. But I wonder whether or not it's driven just as much by boredom with the plain and simple gospel.
You know, I think you're right. It is a form of boredom. And I remember an article that Rolf Preuss kind of wrote along these lines. And the issue is this, is that Christ-centered preaching preaches Jesus and what he's done for us, whereas seeker-driven and evangelical preaching and law-based preaching always preaches what God is doing inside of me so that I can see progress and something exciting happening inside of me. And so, you know, people who are oriented towards the law and don't understand the proper distinction of law and gospel, Christ-centered preaching becomes boring to them because they think the action is what's going on inside of them rather than what Christ has done for them. the reason they're bored with it is because they want to know, well, what do I need to do? No. You need to be quiet and listen what Christ has done for you. That's what these passages are about.
Before we let you go, what's up tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight we have got a T.D. Jakes update, as he's going to be preaching a very interesting, bizarre message about the wedding feast of the Cana in Galilee, and it being a wild party, and how somehow relates to what God wants to do in your life.
You can hear the live broadcast of Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. Just go to piratechristianradio.com. It's right after Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, and we're going to be listening to a few sound bites, four sound bites. And after those four sound bites, we're going to be hearing from you, your votes for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Mary's Song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple. The Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Hello. I'm Pastor Daniel Quinn, Senior Pastor of Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas, inviting you to join us for divine service on Sundays at 8:15 or 11 a.m. Living Word is located at 9500 North Panther Creek Drive in The Woodlands, a community about 30 miles north of Houston. That's Living Word Lutheran Church, where we proclaim the living word of Christ, that all who hear may walk in newness of life.
Fall is here, and it's time to toss your boots and pack your suits to escape the chill of winter. Opening its doors this December in Mexico, Hyatt Ziva is the perfect repose for all-inclusive splendor. With 9 restaurants, bars, and lounges to choose from each day, and sumptuous suites to retreat to each night, Hyatt Ziva is the only one in the region with a secluded beach. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a discount as part of their grand opening celebration. Call your travel agent or visit all-inclusive.
Producing 10 hours of live talk radio every week from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.